This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
This is a trap to our existence!
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
I feel so good. So good to be here.
Get ready for the ride.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek for another Wednesday night. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here. Joining me in the studio tonight is Ben. Ben, we have to come up with a nickname for you.
Yeah. I'll think about it. We'll see.
Baby Ben? No, that doesn't
baby
work.
Baby Ben?
No.
I don't know. You're the apprentice, but then I'm new, so...
Yes, you are new. Now we haven't had a chance to... We haven't done a get-to-know-you session,
really,
have we?
Are we going to do that?
Well, we could. Just quickly. So, you grew up in Perth?
I did grow up in Perth, yes.
And don't you've been in Melbourne for how long?
About 3 years now, yes.
But I understand... You spent a bit of time travelling around the world.
Yes, I have been very, very lucky to see the world and do a few interesting things. I had a record deal a few years ago in America.
A record deal.
I played, we called it hardcore. Hardcore music. I played bass in a hardcore band.
So probably not music we have here on Joy 94.9.
Not too
very
often, no.
No? Okay.
So yes, did that for a few years, got to travel. Live in a car with my mates, driving around, playing shows.
So, to be blunt, were you out at the time?
I was, yes.
And, but your mates, straight boys or?
They were all straight boys, yes. So I was the only gay boy in the band, of course.
Okay.
Of course I was, yes, I was out to them, not a drama. There were a few raised eyebrows. When you're on tour, you sort of tend to tour with one or two other bands. So, it's a big group of guys from different states, different countries, all touring around together. So they didn't all, that was a bit interesting. They didn't always take to it the same way as my band did, but what the hell?
Well, we're going to have to find out more over the coming weeks, months, years that you are with us. Get all those gossip stories from behind the scenes.
Sure.
On the road in the US.
I'm an open book.
That's what we like here at Hide and Seek. And on tonight's Hide and Seek, we're going to be pretty open, I think, tonight.
So we were talking about this in the Joy office just before with our guest talking about tonight's show. And we got a few raised eyebrows from others in the office already.
Yes,
and we haven't even begun.
Exactly. So we are talking bums tonight.
Bums.
We've all got one, as Dean was saying before. We all have a bum. It all has... some key purposes and some other purposes, of course, we use it for. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. But also, you know, and a lot about healthy bums.
We all want what's best for our bums.
Exactly. So it's going to be hopefully a fun and informative show for you this evening. So make sure you stay tuned and join in the conversation. Now, also, big news, of course, don't forget, it is the 29th of June. So you only have almost basically 24 hours to make sure you enter the draw to win a Holden Spark by becoming a Joy member. and the Chicks Talking Footy girls who were on just before were flat out talking about all the footy games happening this weekend. So they didn't. They said, "Oh, Andrew, can you read these out?" So a big thank you to Richard from Melbourne, who became a Joy member during the Chicks show, and also Jason from Brunswick West, who became a member. That was all very easy. So don't forget, you can just head along to joy.org.au. There's a big couple of buttons right at the top. Become a member or donate to Joy. Donations over $2 are tax deductible, so do that before tomorrow night. And also go into the draw by becoming a member, and you can win a brand new Holden Spark.
Awesome.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice, and I almost said Baby Ben, and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come up with a new name, Ben.
All right. I'll get on to it. Next week, I'll definitely have a name. Anyway.
Now, just quickly though, it is, of course, rushing towards the end of the financial year, and a big thank you to Emma from Greensboro, who has become a member, and also Keith from Altoona North, who has made a donation. So a thank big you. Thank you for them. Sorry, over to you, Ben.
That's all right. I'm just rushing to get into this. I'm itching to get into this tonight. So our special guest tonight in the studio is our bum specialist, Fabian Kong. Fabian holds a Bachelor of Pharmacy, a Master in Epidemiology, and about to submit a PhD in Epidemiology. Fabian is jet-setting off to Amsterdam next week to take part in the Endeavours Awards Research Fellowship at an STI clinic in Amsterdam. His PhD is looking at why 22% of men who have sex with men fail treatment for rectal STIs with commonly used treatments, and this has resulted in Fabian understanding a lot about the bum. Here tonight to discuss his theories about rimming, swallowing cum, and how what you put in your mouth can affect the bum, he's been studying gay men's bums for 3.5 years. Please welcome Fabian Kong. What an intro.
Oh, thank you so much. That was almost a wonderful introduction. Oh, thanks, Ben.
And it's great to have you here. All right, so first of all, you're doing a PhD. How did you get to this topic?
Easily? So I'm a gay man. So, you know, so bum's kind of a natural part of our bodies. I kind of started working in sexual health about 10 years ago, mainly chlamydia, but mainly looking at heterosexuals, so vaginas and penises. And then when I was studying it, I found out that no one was actually studying the bum. So I thought, I'm going to study the bum.
You saw an opening and you went for it.
Yep, I saw a gap. Yep.
And so, why is no one studying bums?
The theory is that everyone thought the bum was like the penis or the vagina. Mm-hmm. So we kind of looked at it in terms of immunity. So if you had an infection, how your immune system responds to an infection. And people just thought the bum was like the vagina or penis. And it's actually not. It's actually a really quiet place, believe it or not. Oh. The immunity is really quiet in the bum.
Oh, yeah.
So quiet.
Yeah.
So it's a low immune?
Yeah. So
so easy for infection to get into the bum.
It's more like infections persist a bit longer potentially. So if you get for example, if you get chlamydia infection in your vagina or your penis, your white blood cell, the immune system kind of try to fight it off. But studies have shown in HIV negative men that when you get a bum chlamydia, your immune system kind of dampens. It goes soft, and it just lets it sit there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so if you're saying that 22% of men fail this treatment, that's 22% of men that have gone, okay, I've got something, I've been treated, then go back for a follow-up and say, oh no, that's failed. There must be lots of people that actually just go, here, the doctor says, here, take these two pills, and you say, I'll see you again in 3 months, 6 months, whenever. Is it even higher?
Yeah, so the problem with that kind of information at the moment is that a lot of that 22% is going to be reinfections. Uh-huh. So we know that guys are going to go back and have sex and they're going to get that chlamydia again. So we think about 15-20% of those people that get reinfections are going to be those who've just had sex again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my theories would be is because this drug that I'm trying to study, it basically mm-hmm. needs white blood cells, it needs the immune system to carry this drug to the bum. Mm-hmm. So if your bum's going to be really quiet on the immune front, it's not going to carry as much there. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got into it, and that's what I'm going to look at in Amsterdam as well, looking at the immunity in the bum.
So describe a healthy bum to us.
Yeah. I don't even know. So I'm writing my thesis now, and there is no information on a healthy bum. So my picture of a healthy bum is one that's got a high diversity of family or bacteria. They kind of live there together. You got lots of fiber in there. You know, they kind of all live together really happily. So we know that if you get really unhappy bacteria, it's kind of all this microbiome sort of fat that's happening at the moment. So if that family becomes really unhappy, that's when I think the problems occur.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think a happy bum is one that's healthy, not bleeding, you know.
Oh, okay.
So apart from blood, what are some of the other indicators that someone's got an unhealthy bum?
Oh, okay. So I suppose it's just you got symptoms. So if most symptoms, like if you get rectal chlamydia, you got no symptoms at all. So my thinking would be that if you got any symptoms whatsoever, so that's likely to
stay. Itchiness. What sort of stuff?
I kind of think itchiness is a bit vague because bums get itchy, right?
Yeah.
So when you get a particular form of chlamydia in your bum, there's these symptoms, and there's one called tenesmus, which is just a desire to go to the toilet. So you've got this tongue desire. And so you get obviously the other ones like blood and mucus and really gory stuff, right? So obviously you know about that, but this desire to want to poo all the time is kind of interesting. So, yeah. But some people don't have those symptoms at all, so...
When we were talking about this before, you said something that was pretty interesting. So about bacteria and about good bacteria and bad bacteria.
Yep.
Some people have good bacteria and rimming them can actually kill bad bacteria in your guts. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so there's lots of interesting science out there at the moment about this gut microbiome sort of situation. So a recent study came out of these guys in Netherlands. They went traveling around the area, and they measured the gut bacteria and in terms of how much bacterial resistance there was in these gut bacteria before and after they traveled. And behold, when they came back after these areas, a lot of them picked up these resistant stuff bacteria in their gut. And this was basically from contamination of food or water, which is fecal contamination. And there's also been these other studies where people in hospitals, they get this really multiple drug-resistant bacteria in their gut, can't be cured with antibiotics, and then they give these fecal transplants where they give good, clean poo into capsules and they swallow them. So these people that had this resistant gut bacteria completely cured once they gave them good bacteria in the bum, swallowed good poo. So my theory is about rimming. Like if you're going to rim, you're going to swallow a bit of poo. So it kind of all depends on what your poo situation, what your gut bacteria situation is, and what the person you're rimming situation is going to be like. So my example to Ben before was like, if you've got good gut bacteria and the person you're rimming has got really bad gut bacteria, you potentially might pick up that bad stuff, swallow it, it replaces your good stuff and causes you a bit of sickness. But vice versa, if you've got bad gut bacteria and someone's got good poo that you're rimming, that might come and swap it over. So this whole like thing is quite interesting. So for example, with lesbians, there's been studies showing that when they do these bacterial studies in lesbians in constant relationships, the microbiome in these vaginas become very similar between the two women because they've been in long-term relationships.
Wow.
And then as soon as one of those women has sex outside that relationship, that bacterial colony really disrupts really abruptly, and they get this thing called bacterial vaginosis. So it's really amazing, this bacteria, they kind of, it's like a really nice thing that's really susceptible to change.
So a monogamous gay couple, for example, would potentially have very similar bacterial profiles.
No, because the microbiome or the bacteria under the penis is very different to the bum.
Unless
you're like double-ended dildoing or something all the time, then I don't know about... You kind of need to swap the bum. How do you swap bum bacteria? I don't know how you swap bum bacteria.
But through rimming, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So is... How bad is bad bacteria and how good is good bacteria?
What do you mean?
So like, does having bad gut bacteria cause any problems?
Oh, yeah.
Standard run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, diet. So they've linked the gut now to mental conditions. So they think now potentially that if you've got bad gut microbiome, you might get conditions like depression, obesity, autism, like this whole new field around connection of the mind to your stomach. So, yeah, so I think the gut microbiome is extremely important right now.
And is that forever that is forever changing? Like I might be bad this week, but next week, you know, I might have good back.
I'm not sure. I'm not a gut microbiome expert, but my suggestion would be that you kind of have a lifestyle.
Yep.
And your gut bacteria kind of settles around that lifestyle. And if you do something that's dramatically different from your lifestyle, then that will change.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're a vegetarian and maybe if you start eating meats all the time, that might change your microbiome. But, yeah, I kind of feel like everyone's microbiome is around their normal lifestyle anyway. Yeah.
And, you know, just just to remind our listeners who have just joined in, we are, of course, talking to Fabian Kong, who holds a range of degrees, but is doing his PhD in epidemiology, in particular around bums. Now, Fabian, we mentioned before testing, and I was just having a look at the Gay Community Periodic Survey from this year, and only, and I say only, and get your opinion on this, 50% of gay men who are HIV negative have received an anal swab test in the last 12 months or prior to the survey. How critical is it, do you think, to get the anal swab as part of your daily or your regular STI screening?
I think if you're having unprotected sex, and I think now potentially if you're getting rimmed, so I think it's very important. The problem with chlamydia, for instance, is that there is absolutely no symptoms, so you never know if you've got it. Gono is particularly a bit more symptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
But so my theories are now you don't even need to have unprotected anal sex now to get infection in your bum. So there's heaps of theories now about gonorrhea and maybe even chlamydia that you get in your mouth infection, someone rims you and they pass it on from the mouth to the bum. And there's also other theories about it surviving in the mouth, and then so you're getting chlamydia in your mouth, you'll swallow it, it survives the gut, because the gut's also theorized that it doesn't have an immune system, so it doesn't fight infection, and then you poo and you kind of come out of the air. And so there's theories that oral chlamydia can result in rectal chlamydia, so we don't know, that's never been proven. There's lots of data that suggests that that's associated, especially in women. So next year I'm going to try to self-inoculate myself with chlamydia in my mouth and sort of swab my bum and see whether I get chlamydia in the bum.
I want to get back to that in a little bit. But you, as we said at the top of the show, you are heading to the Netherlands very soon.
Yep.
So we're going to find out all about why are you doing that very shortly. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 with Andrew and Ben. Now, of course, it is only 24 hours away until the end of the financial year, basically 27 hours. It is time to become a Joy member to go into the draw to win a Holden Spark, or to become a member, to make a donation and to get your tax deduction. And they've been flooding in. Vicky from Fitzroy North has become a member. Marcus from Richmond has become a member, as has Melinda from Port Melbourne.
Well done.
So a big thank you to everyone who has joined up. It's very easy. Head to joy.org.au and right on the top there you can see become a member or to donate. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We could be back to find out why Fabian's heading to the Netherlands very shortly.
Fire it all.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice, and we've had a text message in to say we should be calling you Ballbreaker Ben.
Ballbreaker Ben? Who would say such a thing?
I don't know.
Who is this person? Do I know this number?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know. I reckon if we checked later on, we might know who it is. But yes, Ben is joining.
It'll do for the time being.
Ben is on joining us in the studio. And Ben, we have Fabian with us.
We do have Fabian with us.
And Fabian holds a Bachelor of Pharmacy, Master's in Epidemiology, and is about to submit a PhD in Epidemiology. But it's all about bums tonight. Fabian,
hi.
You're about to head off to Amsterdam.
I am, yep. I leave next Monday.
Wow.
Yep. I'm going to try to do some research over there. So I'm going to try to measure the pH of gay men's bums in Amsterdam.
She's going right to the source.
Yep. Yeah.
Just where is there lots of gay men's bums? I'll go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, of course. Now, so why is pH? Why is pH important?
So nobody knows what. So pH. So my theory about pH is being important because the drug that I'm studying, when the pH changes, it affects the amount of drug that goes into tissue and therefore the amount of concentration in tissue. So one of my theories is that if your pH changes, you don't get enough drug in your bum doesn't get treated because it fails.
Is it if it's acidic, it doesn't go in? Or if it's, what's the other one? Alkaline?
Alkaline, yeah.
It doesn't go in?
Yeah, so the only information on this is that in 1960, they did a study of 100 men and women and 100 dogs. And they found,
right,
it's bit of a weird science there. And they actually measured the pH of these men's bums, these women's people, and the pH was about 8. And then they got this inflammatory disease, and then the pH dropped from 8 to 7, right? So if this happened with the drugs that we're currently using, that means the drug will reduce its effectiveness by nearly 90%. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what other like drug options are there available at the moment? Is this it? Is this like the best we have at the moment?
No, you can take this 7 days of thing, another drug called doxycycline, 7 day thing. But the issue with that is you may not remember to take 7 days of treatment, so you may fail treatment because you just forget to take the stuff. And I kind of like this single dose stuff because, especially in developing countries, you just give them a dose, you watch them take it, and you leave, and then you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And with this amount of treatment failure, you kind of want to make sure everyone gets cured. Yeah.
So doxy, as it's called, is sort of often, well, it's becoming more common in is like prep for STIs, isn't it?
Yep.
Can you describe that?
Yeah, so what they're trying to do is, so doxycycline doesn't have any effect on HIV, but it has effect on lots of other bacteria. So there's this thing called chemoprophylaxis where, so if you're on PrEP, you have unprotected sex, you're obviously going to cover your HIV, but you're not going to cover stuff like your gonorrhea, your syphilis, and your chlamydia.
Yep.
So what they think is, if you take an antibiotic every day, doxycycline every day, while you're on PrEP, then it reduces your risk of getting those other STIs. There's lots of contention about that because it's actually not good antibiotic, what they call good antibiotic stewardship. Do you take an antibiotic every day to stop an STI?
Because, that's normal. That's normally the, you don't take antibiotics because it becomes resistant and all that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's some French studies. There's some French people now thinking that instead of taking it every day, when you have unprotected sex and you think you're at risk, then you just take it for 7 days. So there's all these different types of theories about how you could take this stuff. But, yeah, I don't think necessarily it's the best thing to do because you're, it's going to wipe out your gut stuff. Your bacteria is not going to be very healthy. And about 2-3% of gonorrhea is resistant to doxycycline anyway. So
how far away is that? Is this something that you think we're going to see being available in the near future? Is it purely just studies at the moment?
Well, they did the initial studies was in the US, and it was a really small number of people. I think it's about 100 men, and they found that it worked really well. So Sydney, the Kirby Institute, are going to start doing this soon for men in PrEP. And Victoria is currently looking at doing that as part of the Victorian PrEP trial as well. Mm-hmm. So it's early days yet, but there's definitely in the thinking that that's going to happen.
So, so you're going to Amsterdam to study doxy or something else?
This other drug called azithromycin, the single dose.
Oh yes,
antibiotic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so I've heard of that one. Why is that one sort of known?
In the literature, there's heaps of failure to it. So if you compare these, for chlamydia, you get azithromycin single dose, or you get this 7 days of doxy, and all the literature has shown that this azithromycin isn't so great. But they've done these analyses that show if you've got penis or vagina stuff, it's okay. But the rectal stuff is really lacking. There's no data on it. And so that's what my PhD is hoping to solve. Why azithromycin fails so badly in gay men. And I think it's because this pH bum stuff, then this drug's not getting into the bum and...
not getting in.
People douching. People in petitation might be douching or using water-based lubes. That's kind of stripping or damaging the rectal tissue or washing out the drug from your bum.
So about douching. So what's your opinion on douching? Is it harmful in a microbiology sense?
Yeah. So there's lots of studies showing that if you douche, it increases your risk of getting rectal STIs. And I've just recently published a paper where we gave 10 men a gram this azithromycin. And we recorded all this activity. And the guy, one guy who had who took the antibiotic and then had 11 episodes of diarrhea in the first 4 days and then used a water-based loop 3 days afterwards, he had the lowest concentration of antibiotics in his bum. So the theory is that when you took the antibiotic, you had diarrhea, he didn't absorb very much of it. And when you have diarrhea, that kind of washed out the antibiotic that was also in his bum. So this particular person, douching and diarrhea caused the least concentration in the bum. But alternatively, the guy who took this drug that increases pH in his gut, his levels were huge. So everyone else's levels in their bum was like 300-500. This other guy was like 3,000. So that's kind of supporting this pH idea that I have, that pH has an effect on treatment of chlamydia. Yeah.
And is there sort of like a reinfection from douching?
Potentially, yeah. The whole like sex toy thing or reinfection thing has never been proven. But it's probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know whether like gono and chlamydia has a long life outside the body?
So that's an interesting one. So at the moment I'm particularly interested in how if you get oral gonorrhea or oral gonorrhea or oral chlamydia, how long it stays in your mouth. So they kind of have shown some studies out there. If you get oral gono, By about 2 weeks, 4 weeks, your body's naturally cleared it without any antibiotic treatment whatsoever. It clears.
Really?
But with chlamydia, it takes a bit longer. It might take up to 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So what this means is that if you go somewhere and have suck someone off and you get this chlamydia gone in your mouth, right? If you don't get screened for another 2 months later, that's you're going to miss that screening, right? But in the meantime, you could have had sex or rimmed or had sucked someone else's cock during that time and passed it on.
Yep.
So it kind of shows that we need. So I'm trying to also do a project next year in maybe Wellington or something where we get them to spit into a jar before they go in to see if they got oral chlamydia or gono, and then they spit when they come out to see if they picked up anything inside the thing.
Okay. Wow.
And so we've never actually known how acute these infections have ever been acquired in as like a sex premises, because that's where, so that this acute phase around an infection and spreading to someone else is really short-lived, and you got to try to get it during that period.
So is it going to be the case then, if we project forward 10 years, say, because, you know, these things take a while to get up and running.
Yeah.
Is it like you're going to have to take a breath test before you go into a sex club?
No, not quite.
Do I put I've got good gut bacteria in my grinder profile?
No, so the interesting thing is the Melbourne Sexual Health is actually kind of doing a study at the moment where they think, okay, so you've got this oral chlamydia or oral gonorrhea, and they're making people use mouthwashes with the idea that the alcohol or alcoholic substances in the mouthwash will kill your gonorrhea in your mouth. So they're looking at whether or not if someone has previously had oral gonorrhea, uses mouthwash for whatever period, whether that reduces the risk of getting gonorrhea.
Oh.
And I have a theory about if you just put, like, in, you know, Wet and Wellington or Club 80, put mouthwashes everywhere, like, potentially that might do something, but I can't, I don't know, like, I don't know if people want to use mouthwashes.
Well, you've heard it here first. If you if you're heading to, there is a big party happening at Club 80.
I don't want to say something about that. Should we all be lining up on Monday morning at Melbourne Sexual Health?
Well, everyone take a little tube of mouthwash along to their party on Saturday night, and all will be good. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Ben and Andrew with you, chatting with Fabian all about bums. This is Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9. I am Ballbreaker Ben, as I've been named by one of our listeners tonight. Here in front of me is Andrew the Apprentice, and we are talking to Fabian Kong all about bums tonight.
Bums.
Now, earlier on, you said something that piqued my interest.
Oh.
You were saying about infecting yourself with chlamydia.
Yeah, that's right. So, you want me to get into it?
Please do.
Okay, so the story is that it starts with animal studies, right? So I'm trying to work out whether or not if you get oral chlamydia, whether it can survive the gut and get to your bum and then cause rectal chlamydia, right? So the studies originally started from animals, where they kind of gave cows and sheep and all the stuff chlamydia in the mouth. And then horribly, months later, they cut the guts open and they looked at whether the chlamydia survived the guts. And they found that lots of it survived the gut, suggesting that chlamydia survives the gut and you can't fight it. And then they found all this stuff in women, particularly that they end up getting vaginal chlamydia, but they had never had vaginal sex or recently. And so they think that in women, they got rectal chlamydia and then cross-contaminated the vaginas, going back and forth, so vagina and the bums. So I'm particularly interested in seeing whether it's not about... So in women, the cross-contamination can occur because of fingers and all this kind of stuff. So the only way that we're going to know is to see whether it actually passes down the gut, and it's never been shown. So the idea is that I'm going to self-inoculate chlamydia in my mouth.
How are you going to do that?
Okay, so it's complicated because... So I'm going to get a microbiologist from Queensland.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give her some of the cells from my mouth. She's going to put it in a petri dish, and she's going to grow chlamydia in that petri dish with my own cells. And then she's going to give me back that chlamydia. This is the theory. And then I'll swab my ass day one, day two for about 7 days and up to day 14 to see how quickly it gets to my bum, how long it stays in my bum. But I'm going to swab it, and then we're going to culture to see if it's actually live chlamydia rather than just dead chlamydia. And if we show that would be the world first to show that oral chlamydia can be in the bum, and that will have big stuff because, you know, if you never have anal sex but you do a lot of sucking, you can get rectal chlamydia.
Wow. So and I'm taking it the risk mitigation you're doing in that is that you're making a culture of the chlamydia out of your own cells.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that currently, if you use chlamydia in a lab now, it's about 99% cancer producing, so they can't give me those cells, obviously, because
right.
I don't want to get cancer.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're going to try to scientifically get around that by culturing this chlamydia in my own cell type, so rather than science type stuff.
And would it be easier to treat it? Let's assume it. Your theory works. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to treat because it's your own cells?
No, it won't make any difference, I don't think.
Okay.
No. Yeah. So
what happens if it doesn't? If your treatment doesn't work?
Oh, my treatment will work.
You've got to suffer for your art, don't you?
We know people with that before. If they had oral chlamydia or bum chlamydia, and we give them stuff, it works. Yeah, you know, it's not. Yeah, I'm confident I'll be cured.
Excellent.
So you're heading to Amsterdam. Now, I hear you're doing that as part of the Endeavour Awards Research Fellowship.
Yep.
What's that infers you won an award.
Yeah, so I won an award. So the Department of Education and Training, the Commonwealth Funding for Education stuff, they put out these grants that you apply for.
Right.
And it's quite amazing. This one I'm applying for, they give you quite a lot of money for going by 6 months. So I'm really glad that the Australian government thinks it's really important that I go study Dutch bums.
As a academic, how is the response when you're applying to government or the or others that you're studying bums?
I think I think there's some people that like it. But the bums are understudied. So if you kind of talk to people that know about the area, they're very interested in it. I think other people kind of think it's kind of weird, of course, you're putting a grant for bum studies.
Yeah.
So this is my curiosity at the moment, because next year I've got to apply for a postdoc or a postdoctoral thing, and I'm kind of writing up this grant about swallowing cum and getting chlamydia in your mouth and getting in your bum and all this stuff. And it kind of looks really weird on the page, and I'm going to apply to a national funding body for this stuff. So I'm trying to tweak it a little bit around to make it sound a bit more plausible than some fantasy land site. But I'm going to try to work the words. But people are interested in it.
Now, you mentioned swallowing cum a couple of times. Is that different to just sucking? Why do you make a difference?
I think because of load, obviously.
Yeah.
So if you're sucking, you potentially might not get as much chlamydia amount as where you're swallowing it. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it gets further back in the throat, I suppose.
Sorry?
I suppose if you're sucking, it doesn't get all the way back to the back of your throat.
Yes.
Yes, so
true.
Yep.
There we go.
Yep.
Just, you know, flabbergasted.
And I'm also assuming that you know, sometimes you see it in the movies or in real life. Anal sex, condomless sex, let's assume, for the purpose of this, penetrative anal sex swallowed by sucking would be problematic, I'm assuming.
I'm trying to picture what just happened then. Hang on.
Penis in bum, sucking the penis after it's come out of the bum.
Oh, okay. So thinking about that picture, the guy's eating his own bum bacteria, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that bad?
No, I think that's kind of good. You're recycling, right?
Just as an email come in on 0427JOY949. So in regards to treatment, just go back on to that for a little bit. What is the broader medical research fields concerns around using antibiotics, I guess. How concerned are you around those, you know, the nasty gonos that are resistant to bacteria, antibiotics?
Yeah. So I think antibiotic resistance to chlamydia is quite rare. Gono is obviously quite rampant now. There's obviously gono around now that is highly resistant to treatment. And so they're kind of thinking in some countries now that we're going to give you an injection now for gonorrhea. I mean, you're getting an injection now and then you get a tablet, but they're trying to change that injection to something that's slightly more toxic to your body. So the resistance is a big, big issue. And if you also think about that recent study also found that if you've got oral gono and you rim somebody, you can actually pass that gono to the bum. And the study suggests that 50% of bum gonorrhea is contributed from oral gonorrhea. So the oral route of transmission is becoming quite a significant area of research right now.
Okay, all right.
So you're... Sorry, Ben.
No, it sounds like there's so much nasties around. This is a fun city. We're all having a lot of fun. We're not getting tested enough, obviously. What do we do? Is it just a case of, say, all right, I've had a big weekend, I need to test... The 3 months is not enough.
Exactly. Yep.
What do we need to be doing?
So that's it. So the standard is that if you think you're at risk of an infection, then get screened, right? It's not harmful. You just get a swab. You pee in a jar and get a swab.
But what do you mean by at risk? Like I had some sex on the weekend.
Okay, so they kind of think about, you know? Obviously, if you're in a gangbang, that's risky, right? Especially not using condoms. So the more, I suppose, it's about the number of sexual partners you have that change, or the way you're having sex. So if you're having condomless sex in a large group, that's obviously the high risk situation, mm-hmm. which is why PrEP is such an amazing intervention, because at least you can cover HIV,
yep.
but you're not going to cover any of your STIs. So.
But as you said, doxy might be around the corner.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think there's still to be waited for doxy. I think it's. I'm also doing this PhD, post-PhD, where I'm going to try to study the gut bacteria of people who are on PrEP, who are negative and on doxy, and then compare and see what happens to the gut bacteria when they start taking on that stuff, because I'm sure it changes.
It has to be.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, Fabian King, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been a fascinating discussion about what you're up to, and all the best over in Amsterdam.
Thanks so much.
Maybe you can be kind of our roving reporter. I'm on the ground here in Amsterdam.
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Just
I can keep you on the cutting edge of bum research.
Keep us up to date.
I'll see you.
I'm terrible. I can't help it.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Big thanks, Fabian. Ben, that's about all that we've got time for, though, this evening. But I thought we'd better touch on a couple of things. Firstly,
what's coming up?
What's coming up is in a couple of weeks, well, just over a week, is Slick. We've had the boys from Slick on a few weeks ago to talk about their event happening next weekend. So Mr. Rubberman competition is happening next Friday evening, the 7th of July. So 8th of July. So Thursday the 7th of July is the Meet the Contestant night at the Lead. Friday the 8th of July is the Melbourne Rubber Man competition. And then, of course, there is the Rubber Ball on the following night, on the Saturday the 9th of July. So make sure you get along to the Slick website and find out all about those. Slick.twistedtread.com.au.
I can see it now. It looks very interesting.
It does look very interesting. So make sure you get along to that. Now, if you want to be a contestant for Mr. Melbourne Rubber Man. Thinking about it, Ben?
We'll see.
Okay. We'll see there on the night. Make sure you get your... slip your entry in by the end of this coming weekend. So you've got about 3 or 4 days to make sure you've written up your application and got that into the boys to make sure you can enter the competition to become the first ever Australian rubber title holder.
That would look great on my mantle.
Exactly.
I hope it was a nice trophy.
But, of course, Ben, you've already done the Taste of Radio course, or a Joy Radio training course, and so you would not be eligible for the prize that us here at Hide and Seek are donating. So, bad luck. Oh. But if you want to...
bad luck, Ben.
Bad luck, Ben.
That's my name for the
next week. There we go. New one. just on a little side, pretty naughty doing this, but there is a... Eagle Leather are having an end of financial year sale. We shouldn't say that. But it also means that you can also get your stuff in ready for a week of leather, which is the second week of August as well, when Mr. Laird Leatherman will be announced as well.
Awesome.
So it's all happening here in Melbourne. Winter in Melbourne is not dull. Ben, big thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank you.
Speaking of Eagle Leather, BJ will be in next week to talk about electro play. Coming up next, of course, is Black, White and Rainbow. All of the Hide and Seek podcasts are available at joy.org.au/hide and seek. Big thank to David. I think he's overseas taking a break this week, so we're going to have to do something about that. I've been Andrew the Apprentice. This has been Joy 94.9. And don't forget to become a member by tomorrow to go into the draw to win a car, Holden Spark, and make a donation to go onto your tax return. This has been Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.